Live from the campus of Hillsdale College in beautiful Hillsdale, Michigan, this is Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve on the Steve Gruber Show, Wednesday, June 3rd, 2020. Here are three big things you need to know. Three, Congressman Steve King, the nine-term Republican from Iowa, lost a heavily contested primary race to a state senator last night. RNC chairwoman Ronna McDaniel tweeting early Wednesday that King's white supremacist rhetoric is totally inconsistent with the Republican Party. And she's glad Iowa Republicans rejected him at the ballot. Two, oh, happy day. Many Michigan retailers will be required to start refunding consumers returnable plastic and glass bottles as well as can deposits starting June 15th. Now, retailers will be allowed to set certain limits on daily bottle returns, and they also must adhere to coronavirus safety protocols. And number one, demonstrators protesting in Detroit against police brutality and social injustice for a fifth night yesterday. Peaceful marching ended with skirmishes with police after some refused to go home after curfew. Dozens of arrests were made. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. Thank you so much for joining us here on the program. Coming up this hour, David Daly, former editor-in-chief of Salon, senior fellow at Fair Vote. Talk with him. Chris Ruddy, the CEO and editor of Newsmax, will preview an interview between President Donald Trump and Sean Spicer on Spicer & Company. That'll be on Newsmax TV. That's all coming up this hour. If you don't know who I am, well, quickly, I'm here in Hillsdale, Michigan, as I said, at the campus of Hillsdale College, where I'm the general manager of the student radio station here on campus. I teach in our journalism department. And you can also hear me hosting shows and podcasts all over the place, the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Check that out on many of these fine radio stations on the weekend, or find it in podcast form where fine podcasts are found. The Hillsdale College Classical Education Podcast. You can also find me at National Review, where I co-host Political Beats, a show about music, people in politics, and the music that they enjoy. That's at National Review. Very soon, I should have a piece up in the American Spectator, spectator.org, on Rush Limbaugh. It'll be in the new print edition, which is upcoming, and I assume also will live on the website as well, so be on the lookout for that as well. Again, you really can't turn around and miss something that I'm involved with, so thank you for consuming those things. As I mentioned, Detroit police making arrests last night after standoff of protesters following curfew. Riot police present after 8:30 or so. The curfew started at 8. In an armored vehicle there, police arresting protesters at a parking lot. Dozens of marchers using zip ties to tie their hands behind their backs. Warnings were issued first, yes, well before not just the curfew, but well before police actually moved in to make those arrests. It did seem that violence, looting, both in Detroit and also across the country, New York, and Chicago, elsewhere, seemed a little less last night. Don't know if that's a trend of things to come or a brief respite from what we've seen the past few days. At some point, perhaps you run out of storefronts to loot, run out of glass to shatter in your neighborhood. Scary situation. Soreb Amari in the New York Post did a piece yesterday, recommend about what it's like to live on a block in New York City that's literally being terrorized this week after dark, standing at the doorway into his apartment/condo complex and watching these people go by and consider breaking in. It's pretty heart-stopping stuff. That's at the New York Post. One thing is for sure, one thing we have learned these past few days is, as David Harsanyi points out this morning, we have two sets of rules in America. Governors and mayors spent months threatening churchgoers and funeral goers and regular Americans, essentially accusing them of manslaughter. You're killing grandma if you go outside, if you meet, if you go to church, if you attend a funeral. But then decide by fiat that protesting is fine and even encourage people to get out on the streets and take part. This is about the quickest 180 you'll see. You even had health experts, you had nurses and health experts holding up signs begging you to stay home. We're here for you, so please stay home for us. And I'm not saying it's the same people, clearly, but you do see there were pictures yesterday of health professionals attending these protests. And dozens of public health and disease experts signed this open letter yesterday in support of the nationwide anti-racism protest. That's the NPR headline. This is how elites, this is how experts lose credibility. They tell you one thing and then turn around and change their mind because they like the cause that some people are involved with. Warning upon warning about spreading COVID-19 and how it spreads, and avoid crowds and use social distancing, and you got to stand 6 feet apart. But now if you support the right cause, it doesn't matter. Let me read from this piece. It's an NPR piece, but they're just quoting from this open letter. The risks of congregating during a global pandemic shouldn't keep people from protesting, according to dozens of public health and disease experts who signed an open letter in support of the protests, in support of killing grandma, as we were told. The letter said, quote, white supremacy is a lethal public health issue that predates and contributes to COVID-19. That letter was written by infectious disease experts at the University of Washington, later was signed on by others. Racism is a social determinant of health. It affects the physical and mental health of blacks in the U.S., so I wouldn't weigh these crises separately. Local governments, the letter says, should not break up crowded demonstrations under the guise of maintaining public health. They urge law enforcement agencies not to use tear gas, smoke, and other irritants. The medical professionals acknowledge the potential for COVID-19 cases to rise in the days to come. They call for public health agencies to boost access to care and testing in affected communities. But wait. I'm sure you saw this. I was going to say last month, but we're talking last week, 10 days ago. You had people on the left demanding anyone taking part in a protest, anyone, for example, in Michigan, heading to Lansing to protest, sign waivers saying, I will reject any health care if I contract COVID-19. I acknowledge the risk of being here today and will reject all health care if I contract COVID-19 because I know the dangers and risks. And these health experts signing this letter saying, no, A, don't break it up. B, you should go do it. And C, medical professionals should increase care and testing in communities where there is this protesting. It is just beyond frustrating. They're still trying to shut down, of course, the Owosso barber, Carl Mankey, here in Michigan. He's still operating, last I saw yesterday, 4 days after the order to shut down. But, you know, he can't cut hair. There's a risk of spreading the virus. But health experts now encouraging people to attend these protests. This is how you lose all authority. Who is going to listen next time when experts say you got to stay home? You can't congregate. It's going to be dangerous. Unless, of course, we like your politics, then feel free and we'll support you. This is so, again, beyond frustrating, especially, I don't know if I'll have time. There's a great tweet thread from a woman who had to put to rest, I believe, her father. And all the people who shamed her for trying to hold a funeral and now watching these protests take place, just beyond frustrating. Scott Bertram in for Steve. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Rich Studley with the Michigan Chamber. We represent about 5,000 employers who employ over 1 million Michigan residents. At times like this, employees and employers have questions. We're your trusted source of information. Please visit the Michigan Chamber's website at michamber.com for the timely and accurate information you need to stay in business and to keep Michigan moving forward.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
When it comes to planning for your future, you want an advisor who understands your Christian values. Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles offers financial planning based on biblical principles. He can help you plan for your goals in a way that is consistent with your faith. Call Craig Stiles today at 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial provides financial services without regard to religious affiliation or cultural background. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Hey parents, finding it hard to communicate with kids in today's world of ever-changing slang?
Hi son.
Excuse me?
Introducing the Communicizer. Just strap non-toxic Communicizer to your mouth and go from boring old man speak.
Oh, you know, I'm here if you want to talk.
To 100% off the chain.
Text me whenever, yo.
It's that easy.
Thanks to Communicizer, I'm relevant to my kids again. I mean, I'll fly, boo.
And now when you buy Communicizer, you get the auto-tune attachment free. Sounds so hip-hop, your kids will want to talk to you for hours.
I used to have to walk 3 miles uphill to school every morning, shorty.
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
Communicizer is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.